The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Pascaline Adadevu. In the headlines, political instability in Africa attributed to lack of truth exhibited by politicians. $5 million rice support project launched in Tamale. UN Security Council approved sanctions against Boko Haram. International Criminal Court to sentence former Congolese warlord today. And more condemned military takeover in Thailand as U.S. threatens suspension of $10 million bilateral trade. The news in detail.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Lack of truth on the part of politicians is said to be fanning the continuous political instability across Africa. Reverend Professor Emeritus John Pobi of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences made this remark when he delivered a lecture in Accra on the topic Truth in State Building, a theologian's perspective. He said due to politicians' lust for power, they have continued to be untruthful, and this has plunged most countries in Africa in total confusion. He says the only way these things will come to an end is for politicians to start seeing issues in the right perspective. Yvonne Atilogo has filed this report.
Reverend Professor Emeritus John Pogi said the political instability being experienced requires being truthful in the service of building the nation and state. He cited the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, which reflects a Tutsi-Hutu divide. He said the genocide represents the consequence of falsehood projected against others, which caused confusion.
Without truth, no nation can survive. For example, we are different ethnic groups, but we sometimes have ideas of the other tribe, and those ideas are very often false. And nations have gotten into trouble because of untruths. What happened in Eastern Africa was because somebody told lies about the Tutsis. So I think it's important that we should be truthful, and you just don't say anything because you want power. But it's important to be consistent with. I've also said that we take things from abroad, and they've got to be contextualized in this sphere, because you keep on borrowing systems from elsewhere which don't fit, and then the whole thing is a lie.
The Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences lecture is to promote study, extension, and the dissemination of knowledge of all the arts and sciences.
Yvonne Atilogo's report. Still on leadership, a former cabinet minister in Nigeria, Professor Jerry Gana, has at the Biblical Leadership Forum in Accra stated that most African leaders are good dreamers but should instead work towards realizing those dreams. He said a leader should have clear vision and be passionate about it in achieving results. This, he said, would be achieved by prioritizing and asking God for wisdom. Joyce Dechi was at the forum.
The African Biblical Leadership Initiative, ABLI, focuses on promoting the use of the Bible as a tool for leadership transformation in Africa. The vision of ABLI emphasizes on integrity, compassion, and justice in leadership, with the belief that this will lead to positive transformation on the continent. The forum is being hosted by the three arms of government, since they are the leadership upon which governance thrives. A former cabinet minister in Nigeria, Professor Jerry Gana, said most African leaders are good dreamers instead of being inspirational to propel the people into action. He talked about the qualities of a good leader.
Leaders must have purpose, very clear sense of direction, because leaders are not followers. They are the leader. They know the way. People are following. And therefore, if you, the leader, don't have a sense of direction, the people are in serious trouble.
Professor Gana said visionary leaders don't wait for the future to come, but create it by having a clear vision. He made reference to the leadership skills of Nehemiah, in which the prophet supervised the fulfillment of the vision at the time by building the temple. This, he said, should be emulated by African leaders. In a speech read on his behalf, President Mahama acknowledged the challenges confronting leadership, tracing its roots to the family level, where indiscipline, lawlessness, and other social vices emanate. Minister at the Presidency in charge of financial affairs, Steve Ikweti, questions the ethical values of Christians in the country and how the forum will impact change for development.
Country that claims to be more than 50% of Christians, the pertinent question we ask is whether the impact of what the church stands for. Again, we may ask ourselves why there is still so much selfishness, greed, and corruption. It is clear that the heart of the matter is the issue of the heart. The heart from which we hatch all our plans, nurture our conceptions, and develop our attitudes. It is here that this forum becomes important, because unless there is a change of heart and a change of attitude and lifestyle, it will appear as if a lot of the far-reaching dreams that we have will continue to be impeded. The African Biblical Leadership Initiative should become a platform for searching for and applying to our personal and national lives the appropriate ethical values that should become a complement to economic development.
The Chief Justice, Georgina Wood, said though the continent is richly endowed with natural resources, it has not seen much development due to bribery and corruption, indiscipline, lawlessness, and hatred. Former British High Commissioner to South Africa, Lord Paul Boateng, asked African leaders to ensure that integrity and transparency, devoid of corruption, be their hallmark.
Joyce Zeche reporting. A $5 million rice support project has been launched in Tamale. The project has the overall goal of increasing rice production in five West African countries, namely Ghana, Nigeria, Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso. The three-year project is being implemented by the Association of Church-Based Development Non-Governmental Organizations, which is founded by the Alliance for a Green Revolution in Africa. Speaking at the launch of the project, the executive director of the Center for Scientific and Industrial Research, Dr. Abdullahi Salifu, said food security remains a major concern in sub-Saharan Africa. We bring you the details.
According to Dr. Abdullahi Salifu, most West African countries produce less than half their national requirements for rice, leading to high importation with implications for foreign exchange demands. Statistics from the FAO World Trade Report 2012 also shows that Nigeria is the world's largest importer of rice, spending $2.30 billion annually on rice importation. This is in spite of the fact that the country has 4.6 billion hectares of land suitable for rice production. The FAO report indicates that Ghana imports about 600,000 metric tons of rice annually, amounting to over $500 million. This figure constitutes about 67% of national requirements. Experts agree that increasing the production of rice will have a huge impact on the economy of the sub-region. The director of the Savannah Agricultural Research Institute, SARI, Dr. Matthias Fosu, disclosed that the project has three key objectives, including the provision of technical backstopping to link country teams to the rice value chain, supporting country teams to collate, analyze and synthesize data on the industry, and facilitate collaboration between countries to enhance national and regional knowledge sharing on rice production. The Deputy Northern Regional Minister, Alhaji ABA Fuseni, in a presentation to launch the project, noted that food security is a political issue, and any country that relies on others for its food needs cannot assert its independence. He appealed to Ghanaians to change their taste for foreign products in order to help the national economy.
A Newsdex report. The World Cocoa Foundation and Ghana Cocoa Board have signed an agreement dubbed Ghana Cocoa Action Initiative. It is aimed at improving cocoa production through the introduction of high-yielding varieties of cocoa seeds for the next 6 years. At a news briefing in Accra, the chief executive of the Ghana Cocoa Board, Dr. Stephen Opuni, said cocoa farming is very lucrative as the backbone of the nation's economy. He therefore encouraged graduates to go into cocoa farming to improve their lives and the economy of Ghana. Eric Agboke has filed this report.
Dr. Stephen Opuni said the initiative will complement the efforts of the Ghana Cocoa Board towards its productivity and livelihood enhancement programs. The initiative will also improve on the well-being of the Ghanaian cocoa farmer and secure a sustainable supply of cocoa. Dr. Opuni was optimistic that the Cocoa Board will supply fertilizer and other farm inputs to cocoa farmers in the next farming season free of charge.
Our intention is to sign a memorandum of understanding on how to collaborate to ensure the sustainability of cocoa productivity and also improvement in the livelihoods of cocoa farmers in this country. We all know that cocoa is the backbone of the economy of our country. Cocoa processing and then chocolate manufacturing companies in the world, that is, their intention is to complement the efforts of Cocoa Board specifically one of our subsidiaries at the Cocoa Research Institute, to ensure we can produce high-yielding planting materials for cocoa farmers.
The president of the World Cocoa Foundation, Bill Guyton, said the Cocoa Action Initiative will provide farmers with the necessary training and input needed to increase productivity. He said the initiative will focus on improving the lives of farmers through educational programs. The chairman of the World Cocoa Foundation, Barry Parriton, said they will also focus on social issues such as child labor and education.
Eric Agboke's report. The Minister of Trade and Industry, Haruna Idrisu, has asked the business delegation from Mauritius to take advantage of the numerous investment opportunities in the country and establish industries. Speaking at the opening of a business forum in Accra, Mr. Idrisu said Ghana's stable democracy and improvement in the macroeconomic performance makes it secure for investors to enter into partnership with Ghanaian counterparts. A report by Yvonne Asayofe.
The Vice Prime Minister Charles Xavier Luc Duval, who is also the Minister of Finance and Economic Development in Mauritius, led a 30-member business delegation to deepen bilateral relations and explore investment opportunities, particularly in sugar, ICT, and textile industries. Mr. Idrisu hopes that Ghanaian business entrepreneurs will tap the expertise of the Mauritius investors.
We have also improved the macroeconomic performance of our economy, achieving a consistent growth rate of 7% and even to 14% in the period 2011. We certainly today do have some challenges in managing some of our fiscal or the trade deficit of fiscal and budget deficits, but the prospects are bright for the future, and we encourage Mauritius businesses not to hesitate to invest in Ghana, and that you will reap the appropriate and commensurable, if not more than adequate, benefits of the investment that you would put in Ghana.
Mr. Duval was optimistic of their investments due to the stability and good governance in the country.
By the strong performance of the Ghana economy, Ghana is West Africa's second largest economy. With a growth rate of 7% in 2013, Ghana ranks amongst the countries with the highest growth rate in the world. The Africa Center for Economic Transformation, based in Ghana itself, ranks Ghana fourth as having the best economic potential in Africa. Mauritius is ranked sixth, and Ghana fourth also in terms of attractiveness for FDI. Ghana, as the Excellency the President recently stated, is on its way to becoming a high-income economy. Ghana's robust democracy, good governance, and stability are an example to all of us in Africa. We in Mauritius share the same values as the Ghanaian people. And it is for this very reason that we are so positive and upbeat about strengthening economic and diplomatic ties with Ghana. The appointment of honorary consuls in both countries in the near future will help cement this closer relationship. Africa on the rise, emerging Africa, fills all of us Africans with a sense of pride and hope. The Mauritius, we are contributing, according to our own means, to the development of the continent through a defined and dynamic Africa strategy. Firstly, by encouraging cross-border investment.
Mr. Duval said they look forward to the ever-growing relationship between the two countries.
You heard Yvonne Asayofe. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Political instability in Africa attributed to lack of truth exhibited by politicians. $5 million rice support project launched in Tamale. UN Security Council approved sanctions against Boko Haram. International Criminal Court to sentence former Congolese warlord today. And more condemned military takeover in Thailand as U.S. threatens suspension of $10 million bilateral aid.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development has directed the management of the Kpoun engineered landfill site to extend their working hours from 2 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day, including weekends, as part of measures to deal with the worsening sanitation crisis in the capital, Accra. The ministry is also looking for an alternative temporary disposal site within the Accra metropolis to be used for waste disposal, whilst efforts are made to find a long-term solution to the waste management problem. Already, the ministry has started engaging with all the stakeholders, particularly MMDAs and the private service providers, on resolving the issue of realistic and prompt payment for waste management services rendered to MMDAs. This was contained in a statement issued by the ministry in Accra.
The Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development attributes the waste problems in the city to the attitude of the public, despite its associated health implications. The ministry said it is aware of its mandate to ensure that cities and towns are clean to promote health, good environment, and improved quality of life of the people. It has therefore taken a number of steps to ensure that in the short term, heaps of refuse are cleared, whilst engaging relevant stakeholders to find a lasting solution to waste collection and management. The statement said, government has secured and is in the process of constructing 2 engineered recycling and landfill facilities in the southwestern part of Accra, which will be completed in 18 months. The project is expected to reduce the current pressure on the Pune landfill site and the high cost that waste management service providers incur in the delivery of sanitation service within the Accra metropolis. The statement said the ministry will continue to seek funding to provide the required infrastructure, such as waste treatment and disposable facilities at vantage points in the national capital, to ensure that waste generated are properly managed. The ministry reminded the public that ensuring clean community is a collective responsibility which requires the joint efforts of all players.
Those were excerpts of a statement by the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development on how to solve the sanitation problem in Accra. In 2010, 340,000 Ghana cedis was paid as compensation on lands at Adaklu and Abutia in the Volta region. The names of persons who received the compensation were not provided when the Bank of Ghana presented documents on compensation payments to the Judgment Debt Commission. This issue came up when the Assistant Director at the Banking Department of the Bank of Ghana, Leslie Akong, appeared before the Judgment Debt Commission in Accra yesterday. Here is Ernest Obienim's report.
Briefing the commission on the compensation paid on land at Adaklu and Abutia, the Assistant Director at the Banking Department of the Bank of Ghana, Leslie Akron, said the bank received a letter from the Controller and Accountant General Department instructing it to pay 340,000 Ghana cedis as compensation on the land.
The Bank of Ghana, as usual, has given instructions of control. As if I would, nobody wants to do this.
Yes.
So I said it's now 340,000 from the Canadian Grant Account Number Association. The Bank of Ghana is meant to be mobile account number that is placed on through the Nigerian Council. Account Number Association was 80 CDRs. This transfer is enabled the Honorable Minister MOFA pay for part payment of large compensation claim as per the MOFA elected Number Association with the 16th August 2010. And we were able to get a copy of the release letter from the Minister of Finance attached to it. And which was given authority for this payment to Controller. Third paragraph is the sum of 340,000 being released represents past payments of the total compensation claim of 5,867. That is what we were not privy to the
To whom the money was being paid,
not at all.
Mr. Akong also briefed the commission on the payment of 1.1 million Ghana cedis to one Nana Kwame Bedi Akong of Wonderworld Properties, who represented Sarok and Gelfi joint venture in the Asafo interchange contract dispute. A representative from the Ministry of Roads and Highways also appeared in respect of the judgment debt paid to Nana Kwame Bedi Akong on the Asafo interchange disagreement.
You heard Ernest Obienim's report. Now to some foreign news. The UN Security Council has approved sanctions against the Nigerian militant group Boko Haram 5 weeks after it kidnapped more than 200 schoolgirls. It will now be added to a list of Al-Qaeda-linked organizations subject to an arms embargo and asset freeze. U.S. Envoy Samantha Power said it is an important step in support of efforts to defeat Boko Haram and hold its murderous leadership accountable. The U.S. has led widespread international criticism of the military takeover in Thailand as the country spends its first night under curfew. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said there is no justification for the coup, adding that a $10 million in bilateral aid could be suspended. France and Germany have also condemned the coup, with the UN expressing serious concern. And former Congolese militia leader Germain Katanga is to be sentenced today at the International Criminal Court after being found guilty of war crimes. Germain Katanga was found guilty in March this year and is the second to be convicted by the court. He is said to be behind the 2003 massacre of hundreds of villages in the northeast of the Democratic Republic of Congo. To end the news, the main points again. Reverend Professor Emeritus John Pobi of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences has attributed political instability in Africa to lack of truth exhibited by politicians. A $5 million rice support project has been launched in Tamale. The project has the overall goal of increasing rice production in five West African countries, and the International Criminal Court will today sentence former Congolese militia leader Germain Katanga after being found guilty of war crimes in March this year. The news was presented by Pascaline Adadevoh in Accra.